Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. It is Monday. I'm Chris Graham, and on Mondays we talk NASCAR with Rod Mullins, and we got to talk about, well, you know, what normally happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but we'll talk about what happened in Vegas on Sunday. Alex Bowman winning the drag race to the line with Carl Larson to get the win. And a lot of strategy, a lot of stuff going on there in the last few laps. Rod, take us through, maybe first, let's start with Alex Bowman and Kyle Larson. But, there was so much going on in those last few laps with cautions and decisions about how many tires to get and everything else, that a lot of stuff to kind of unpack there.
Yeah, there was a lot of things. You know, you mentioned about the tires. One of the things that they had to do was, you know, one more set of tires is what they were going to have to go to. And they were either going to have to be stickers or they were going to have to be scuffed, one of the two. And so if they're scuffed, you know, they've got a little bit of wear on them. But if they're sticker tires, they're guaranteed to stick you to the track a little bit better. You know, it's just a different kind of setup of what they have with those tires. But, you know, everything passes inspection. But, you know, it's either that choice of the scuffed or the sticker tires. A lot of the guys made the option to go with the sticker tires. I don't know how many decided to go with a scuff set of tires just for that final shootout. But, you know, calling for tires, especially with, 10 or 9 laps left to go, that was kind of unheard of. But it's not a reflection on this new tire or anything like this. You've got to have all of your horses lined up and ready to make its move. And that's exactly what some of these teams tried to do here toward the very end. But I think what got me more than anything else was the surprise that Kyle Busch was, you know, there for a long time. It was Ross Chastain that was dominating. It looked like Ross Chastain was going to pick up his first win. He was fighting off a Kyle Busch who was charging up through the field. Kyle Busch really shouldn't have been charging up through the field because he technically wrecked in a test session the other day when he was out there testing, going through, trying to figure out set up speed and so forth, and the car literally turned around on him, tore all into pieces. And then it's like, okay, well, we'll go to the backup car. We don't have a backup car. We have a parts car. We don't have a backup car. So essentially they took this one parts car that was supposed to be divided among three team members if something happened, and they went and started pulling parts off. They had to go and get a new wrap to put around the car and so forth. Everything had to be done. It was an overnight thing to get him back into it. And you think that he had a brand new car that had been running for, you know, I don't know how many weeks. And he went out there and he was really showing the field what he could do with that car until the end of the race. And then Alex Bowman, who comes out of nowhere, 7-time winner now on the circuit. You know, 7's always been considered a lucky number. But, you know, in Bowman's case, at least, you know, he thinks it's lucky for him, you know, picking up his 7th win. But Kyle Busch wasn't too happy about that whole thing there toward the end of the race.
Yeah, talk about that. I know with 3 laps left, you mentioned Busch and Martin Truex Jr. were also pretty competitive there. Right. Eric Jones lost control. Bubba Wallace hit the wall.
Yeah.
Calls a caution. And then at that point, decisions had to be made about tires again. They had just gone back and looked at that a few laps before. Mm-hmm. Some teams decided to go 2, some decided to go 4,
right.
And then other stuff was going on. Talk about all that.
Yeah, it was one of those confusing things where you had to go to overtime to decide this thing, how it was going to go. But yeah, Eric Jones, he lost a right side tire, and when he did, he goes careening into the wall, then back out onto the track, and barely, I'm talking about within micro, you know, whatever, millimeters or whatever, he misses, or I should say Bubba Wallace misses him, and then he goes careening into the wall, tears the front end of his Toyota up, pretty much does him in for what he had was a great day. He was running there in the top 10. They're pretty steady there about midway through the race. Eric Jones was running really well. He would have had another top 10 finish if he had been able to finish out that race. But Las Vegas was rough on these tires, I think, this time around. It was rough on the setup. It was rough on just so many different things. But, yeah, you were right. Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. kind of going back and forth. That caution comes out. That kind of resets the field. Samantha Busch, she was up on top of the pit box, and she was yelling, no, 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 this is not what we wanted, because you don't want to restart with that many laps left to go and people trying to make the charge to get up to the front. And then at that point, Kyle was just kind of out of the picture, and here comes Alex Bowman out of nowhere. And he's kind of just staying around there toward the front, running a fairly good race, and then he comes up through there, wins the race, and then on the cool down lap, oh my gosh. I mean, Kyle Busch was just, he was full of how can I say this in the English term? Obscene gerunds is what he was. So he went off and he kind of was like this, the same blank guy who backs into every blank win that he ever has gotten, backs into another blank win, blank. That's all I can say about it. This was the way he was just fussing the entire time for the race. And Kyle Busch had a great car, you know, even though it was a parts car and it was put together, he just didn't have enough to be able to hold on there at the end. And I think between him and Martin Truex kind of going back and forth, that allowed that field to get caught up, and then they got in that traffic, and then the caution came out. That kind of changed things right there. And then, just like we said, Alex Bowman walked in, he got that race, but you want to be in that kind of situation. You want to be in a situation of where, you know, if the guy cannot finish there and get in there and take the win, then you better be ready to go and make the move to do it. And I go back to thinking about what Clint Bowyer said about the car all day yesterday. These guys had complained for a very, very long time that they wanted a car that they could have more control off of. Well, they've got it. And now we're starting to see some of these drivers are just too used to the way that the setup has been. They're just used to the way things are. They actually have to drive this car now. That's the way Clint Bowyer makes it look like. He's been telling people, you know, they wanted this car. They've got it. He says, I've been impressed with it. I don't know how much, you know, kind of nudging from NASCAR that Clint's gotten out of this, but he's been very high on this car. And so, you know, that's what they've gotten. They've gotten this whole thing set up. And, he says this is a challenge for some of these drivers. And he says it's about time that they got this.
I'm going to borrow from my favorite humorist, Dave Barry, the former Miami Herald columnist. Yes. Obscene Gerunds would be a great name for a rock band.
Yeah.
No, that's a great rundown there. Hendrick takes the podium. Top three spots go to Hendrick. Been a good start to the season for Hendrick Motorsports.
It has been, and we found out this past week also that Hendrick had sat down with Kyle Larson and also with Chase Elliott. There was some animosity kind of brewing there between these two drivers, and Hendrick put it on the line, and Hendrick just told them, you know, guys, you're going to have to learn to race with each other. Mistakes are going to be made. If you made a mistake, own up to it. You know, I think the spotter was owning up to it and saying it was all his fault and things like that from last week with that race. It was a racing thing. That's the way I kind of look back on it. I don't think Kyle Larson did it intentionally on Chase Elliott, but Chase Elliott didn't want Larson to get the upper hand on him too. And then this all transpired. You know, if they're going to start racing like a four-car team, they're going to have to race like a four-car team. They're going to have to all get together, be on the same page, everybody, instead of being this competitive thing, which that's the way most of the teams are looking right now. But here's the thing. This is really what got me, I think, on Sunday, and they were talking about this really a whole lot. You know, parity. Parity has come into the sport now. More than anything else, I think we have seen parity, and then you see Ross Chastain running for Trackhouse Racing. He came in third in this race. Great run for him altogether. Then you go down the line and you kind of look at some of the other drivers through here. Corey LaJoie, he came in 15th. He was one of these drivers who, you know, still managed to be on the lead lap right there. You had Harrison Burton in the Wood Brothers car. He finished 16th. Justin Haley, he's the guy that surprised everybody here not long ago and won a Daytona race. You know, he finished in 17th. And you've got some of these other drivers that people are saying, I've never heard of them before. Where they came from? Well, these guys are all kind of getting that parity thing all together, and they're making it a lot better. I mean, that's been the success of Eric Jones so far. I think Eric Jones has had a lot more with this parity thing maybe than some of the other teams. But you're also seeing some of these older teams, more established teams like Roush Fenway and Keselowski Racing. You know, after two good races here in the first 2 weeks of the season, here we go, and Keselowski has a 24th place finish. So it's not a very good finish for him. And then you look back on it again. Daniel Suarez had a top 10 finish, top 5 finish here a couple of weeks ago, and then turns around and finishes 37th. And so, you know, you've got parity all the way going around with this. So, you know, cream, this stuff rises to the top, and then eventually this stuff is going to settle back down to the bottom. So we're kind of getting a shake out of all this all the way through.
Yeah, I'll correct myself there. William Byron finished fifth. I had all three of the Hendrick people on the podium, or the podium there. He was fifth. Hendrick actually was in the team meeting this week. I mean, we talked about this a lot last week. The ending to last week's race with Larson and Chase Elliott, and what happened between the teammates there, and Hendrick was in the meeting and basically saying, "Hey, let's clean this up a little bit here." And it seemed like it worked, obviously, for them to have the success they had this week.
Well, I know some people think that, you know, when you bring Rick Hendrick into this whole thing, that Rick Hendrick, the axe is getting ready to fall. But no, Rick Hendrick is one of these guys. He's been competitive from a variety of different standpoints. I mean, he's one of these guys who used to race these speedboats, was big on speedboats. He raced also in NASCAR. So he knows. He's had these teams. He's had these things kind of happen back and forth. But he just puts it on the line. He just tells them, if you want to race and you want to race for me, everybody has to race together. Everybody's going to have to work together. And he's right. That's been the success of this team for, gosh, how many years? 30-some years, I guess, all together, about 25, 30, you know, going on maybe 35 years in there. You know, he's been able to put something like this together. He's got four cars in one stable, and he's been able to pull off some great things here. And he's made Chevrolet look good this year. I mean, you know, talking about the standings from yesterday and the race finish, three Chevrolets in the top five right there of that altogether, three of them in the top three positions, and then you had Kyle Busch in there. So, you know, it's been good. Rick Hendrick's the man to have to be able to talk to when something like this happens. He's the man that kind of smooths things over and makes things better.
So let's look ahead to this weekend. The series stays out west, out southwest, with Phoenix on Sunday at 3:30. What can fans expect? Talk about the track there. And again, we're still with the new cars, and teams are getting used to different tracks. How does this track compare to previous tracks already run with the next generation car, and how can we expect the racing to go this weekend?
Well, it's a short track. That's about the best way you can say it. It's a track that has been reconfigured. We saw it last year, of course, when Kyle Larson won his championship race. We've seen it before with Chase Elliott. You know, these guys are used to this. They're kind of looking for this track and looking for coming home, at least to Phoenix, when this race gets started this coming weekend. I mean, they're going to have the full slate of racing out there this coming weekend. They're going to have the ARCA series, which is going to be racing on Friday. Then you're going to have the Xfinity series. They're going to be racing at 4:30 on Saturday. And then the Cup Series races on Sunday at 3:30 for the Ruoff Mortgage 500. But this is a short track. Used to be a lot more, in some ways, used to be a lot like a stretched out Martinsville, but now it's been kind of ovaled, rounded off a little bit more, and you've got your less than, I would say, high banking in some of these places, more of a lot of flat racing down through there to see how well these teams can stick to the track and so forth. So, you know, I think they've been wanting this short track experience, because now we're starting to get a little bit closer, and we're going to be getting a little bit more closer. Martinsville will be coming up, and then, of course, by the time we get into April, you know, we're going to be back at Bristol, and we're going to be at the dirt track, and everything is ready to go for the dirt track, and they say they've got a lot of things that they've got in store for the fans that's going to be there this time around, racing on a Sunday night. It's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank goodness that my schedule is going to allow me to have a day off that next day, because this night race could be a big one, depending on the wrecks, depending on who's wanting real estate there at Bristol. It could be a big one.
Yeah, a big one and a late one. It starts at 7 o'clock, and with all the banging we can expect going on, you might be there into the wee hours of Monday morning.
Could very well be.
Yeah, that Virginia swing is coming up. I mean, it's not that far off. We're here in the first week of March and the first week of April, April 3rd in Richmond, April 9th, Saturday night in Martinsville, and then a Sunday night, April 17th in Bristol. So not that far off as the NASCAR guys and folks make their swing through the Southwest and make their way back east eventually. And so, yeah, and hopefully these teams have some backup cars. That story about the parts car is something I can't overcome there. That, I mean, but it's part and parcel to they're all running new cars, and so
right.
No, they're all scrambling in that respect. I mean, at some point they'll have their usual run of things, but right now they're still just kind of playing out, kind of learning on the game like the rest of us are.
It only used to be, two or maybe three race cars for each team. Now, when I say two or three race cars, you'd have your track car, you'd have your backup car just in case. But there have been times where these guys have been in such trouble, their back's against the wall, they've had to go and pull a show car and get a show car off the road, be able to pull it back in, start working on it there at the track because they've got all these different PR events around the town and so forth. And if, you know, you get a call and somebody says, yeah, so-and-so just hit the wall, we're going to have to redo this car completely, and the backup is already messed up. So they have to usually pull a show car in. Not now, not with this car. And this one car, like I explained earlier, was parts for three cars. That's the way that this new next-generation car is set up, and that's the way it's supposed to be. They want it to where nobody has an advantage over another team in one sense. And I understand that. But, you know, it goes back to the old days. Here it was, and the crew chiefs got smart. Now you can't even do this anymore. You just have to make do with 200 mile an hour duct tape or whatever happens. But if part of that carbon fiber breaks, gets torn up or something like that, you've got to do a tape patch job is what you've got to do. Back in the old days, they brought noses. They brought the nose for a, you know, Monte Carlo or for a Lumina or whatever it might have been, a Ford for a Thunderbird, and then they already had it sitting out there. It didn't make any difference if it was colored black, if it was colored purple or whatever. They'd bring that nose piece in there, pop rivet gun, and they'd start putting it together, and you have a nose piece. You'd have a new nose on that car that might have to be, you know, tuned a little bit, at least for downforce, but still, that's the way they used to do it. Some of these teams can barely afford sheet metal week after week because it's such a, you know, penny pinching thing. And so when they got to this next generation car, they pretty much just set it up. You're going to have parts. You're going to have to rate them all from one car. And I think that makes for a different advantage for some of these drivers.
Lots of great insight there, Rod. Thank you as always for your time. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.